little experiential type of comment. You know, on Friday, it was 60 degrees. The next day, 27 and winter. Little spiritual insight and prophetic statement there. We may think we're basking in springtime, but then winter falls upon us the next day. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Don't put off the relationship with Christ and the participation in his church than what you could do today. Now, the wonderful gospel that we have in this last Sunday, Christ the King, the last Sunday of liturgical year, because we've now finished the entire liturgical cycle, and now next week is Advent. This is the last Sunday of the year, and the last Sunday of the year is dedicated to Christ the King. Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. Christ, who is the King, who directs basically his subjects. All of the personality of the entire church is found in that person of Christ, and we assume that relationship as we become the body of Christ with Christ at our head. This also is the last day of the extraordinary year, holy year of mercy. And when we take a look at this gospel reading, we kind of scratch our heads and say, why aren't we listening to Matthew 25, where the goats and the sheep are being separated and the aspect of the good? Why is this particular Lucan passage an important one for us? Because I believe that what you have here is you have a statement of the ultimate mercy of God. This is a deathbed confession. This is the 11th hour. And it's now the good thief who reaches out to Jesus, and I would tell you, steals his redemption. He does so depending and calling upon Jesus and the mercy of God, and God's mercy is extended to him. In literature, there's a term. When you're looking at a story and the hero or heroine is now caught in a situation, trapped by the circumstances of the world, suddenly no way out, the hand of God comes in and rescues them. It's called Deus ex machina. The hand, literally, the hand of God comes in and refashions and takes them out of that situation and offers them a fulfillment they could never have expected. Deus ex machina. This is almost a deus ex machina with the good thief. The good thief, whose later name Dismas, Damus, Dacmus, in various aspects of the early literature of the church, this figure is brought before us. And the figure is brought before us because it represents the ultimate mercy of God. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the response of Jesus is, today you will be with me in paradise. The term paradise is actually a Persian term. The term paradise actually means garden. Well, the Persian leaders, the great overseers, created a special place, a garden of beauty. And then if you were a special subject, if you did something significant, the master, the overseer, would invite you to come into his garden to enjoy the beauty, basically, that was found in that garden. You were unique. You were special. There was a garden that we lost because of sin. There was a garden that was created for us, and created for us because we were individuals created in the image of God, but we had destroyed it with sin. And now the master comes back and offers his life. Interesting in looking at Jesus Christ, who is heralded as a king. The king is the persona of the country. The king is embodies all of those who are the subjects. Everyone fights to make sure that the king lives. They lay down their life for the king. Think about our king. Just the opposite. He lays down his life for his subjects. He gives himself totally and completely, responding to the will of the Father. This is our God, the Son of God, who now, because of what he has done, opens for us the way to the kingdom. And so there's a tremendous celebration. When he's saying to Dismas, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," that is the promise offered to all who seek redemption and salvation through Jesus. You will be with me in paradise. You'll enjoy basically the beauty of the garden. What God had intended from the very beginning will be yours now because of my action. And as this king, he doesn't wear a crown of gold, he wears a crown of thorns. He doesn't sit upon a throne, he's perched on a cross. And the trappings of his office are the wounds that he bears. Every one of those symbols is a statement of his love for us. Every one of those statements is a symbol of his love for us. He gives his life totally and completely. And in this year of mercy, Pope Francis asks us to consider, in acting and being instruments of mercy towards our brothers and sisters, in the corporal works of mercy, in the spiritual works of mercy, we were charged to take a part of ourselves, just as Jesus laid down his total life, but take a part of ourselves and offer it to others. Feeding the hungry, giving thirst, giving drink to the thirsty, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, and burying the dead. In every one of those actions, we were called to be used as instruments of Christ's love. And it's not that we were not doing merciful things before that. Every parish was called to do that. Every individual would take a look and charge themselves in their own life. But in this extraordinary year of mercy, we were to do it intentionally. Intentionally understanding the love of the mercy of God extended to us. The love of the mercy of God calling us like Dismas from the cross and offering us our salvation and redemption. The love of Jesus extended to us, and we in turn called to extend it towards others. When you take a look at what has happened with Dismas on the cross, I can't help but thinking about the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. So in his suffering, that last outreach to Dismas must have been tremendously joyful. And I know it sounds ironic when I say that. Many of you say, how could it happen? He's suffering on the cross. He's in extreme pain. How can that be joyful? What did the Lord tell us about the shepherd? The Lord Shepherd said, when one of the sheep of the hundred is lost and the shepherd goes out to find it, there'll be more rejoicing over the one found sheep than those that remained. In the very end, the affirmation of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the king, brings home one of the lost sheep at the very aspect and end of his life. The question we have to ask, do we rejoice with Jesus in the joy of the mercy extended by God? Or do we resent the fact that in a deathbed confession, a person who by earthly standards was condemned is now saved? If our answer is the former rather than the latter, then we've learned a great deal from the extraordinary year of mercy. If it is the latter, then we have a long way to go in understanding the generosity of love that's been extended to all of us. The end of the year. Next week, Advent. The end of the Jubilee year of mercy. God's grace continues, and his love is offered freely to us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.